and US 15 right before you cross the James River. Both north and southbound lanes are blocked. In this traffic update, brought to you by SVOE, or Canon Kyocera Xerox Copiers and Service. David Reese has our forecast coming up from the auxiliary CBS 19 Weather Center, brought to you by Rooterman to the rescue. UVA Athletics and Charlottesville go hand in hand. So Monday nights, starting at 6 p.m., we welcome two UVA Athletic legends, Jim Hobgood and Frank Maloney, to the radio for a unique look at UVA sports.
Who's Talking is coming your way on Mondays at 6 p.m. Join Frank Maloney and former basketball star Jim Hobgood and our great UVA guest.
Monday nights at 6 p.m. on Seaville 107.5 and 1260 WCHV.
Your CBS 19 Weather Authority forecast. Today, mostly sunny with temperatures still able to top out in the low to middle 50s, thanks in part to a little breeze coming in from the southwest at 10 to 15 miles per hour. Tonight, mostly clear and cool. Temperatures tumble into the upper 20s to lower 30s. Friday and Saturday, good bit of sunshine. Friday afternoon, cold front moves through, though, dropping temperatures from the 50s Friday to the 40s Saturday. I'm CBS 19 meteorologist David Reese for Seaville 107.5 and 1260 WCHV.
Guns and money.
Yeah, the excrement has hit the air handler.
Santa lawyers, guns and money.
And one of our favorite lawyers, and yes, that is something you can say, because we need them. In this post-constitutional attempt, we need our lawyers to be able to take the Constitution into courtrooms populated by justices who are afraid of getting yelled at over dinner by, you know, their family members who watch the news and read the blogs. And joining us from Public Interest Legal Foundation, J. Christian Adams, on perhaps the most chilling bit of the 117th Congress, it is H.R. 1. Chris, thank you for coming back on the air. H.R. 1 is more frightening to me than... And explain to everyone what H.R. 1 does.
Well, totally rewrite it. It's basically a federal takeover of elections. It bans things like voter ID, bans cleaning voter rolls of dead voters, forces states to follow federal law in how they run elections. In other words, they want to make everything bad that happened in the last year's election, whether it's, you know, vote by mail with late ballots, whether it's basically getting rid of signature verifications, anything bad that happened in 2020, they want to make federal law.
Can, and I guess I ask this with the feeling that there's got to be a court system out there somewhere that still understands upholding the Constitution. Obviously, a legislative body can do something like this, write an unconstitutional law, see many of the Jim Crow era laws. But there's always a court eventually that somebody's going to suffer under the law and then bring it to court, and they're going to say, no, this is patently unconstitutional. But have we crossed a Rubicon where the Supreme Court, especially, and many of the appellate courts aren't going to look at this as unconstitutional anymore?
Well, why would it be unconstitutional? The Constitution has a provision in it that very explicitly says Congress has the power to enact rules associated with the election of Congress. So it's hard for me to know exactly why it's unconstitutional, because the elections clause of the Constitution that gives Congress the power to write these rules has never been limited. It has never been subject to limitation by the Supreme Court. So it's hard for me to know exactly how that constitutional argument goes when there's an explicit provision of the Constitution that allows Congress to enact these sorts of rules.
But the Ninth and Tenth Amendments usually are where we find our states' rights defended. Are you saying that our congressional votes, especially, and I presume then the presidential electors, which I'm not, if I'm not mistaken, we just went through a whole process of trying to point out that it says explicitly that these electors are chosen by means chosen by the state legislators. So the electors are something the state controls, but a congressional race is not?
That's exactly right. They're set up two different ways in the Constitution. The electors for president, how you choose the president, is exclusively the purview of the state legislatures.
Mm-hmm.
Congress, on the other hand, in the Constitution is given absolute control if they want to exercise it, and that's the big if. If they want to exercise it under the Elections Clause, Congress has the power to set the time, place, manner of congressional elections. So, yes, the 9th and 10th Amendment exists, but what the 9th and 10th Amendment says is that if this Constitution does not address the issue, then that issue is reserved to the states. Well, guess what?
This one.
It does address the issue.
Yeah, this one
the Constitution does address the question of whether Congress has the power to set rules for congressional elections, and indeed it does. I don't think that power should be exercised. I think it's best to leave it to the states, but it is not an easy argument to make that it's unconstitutional when Congress does this because the Constitution explicitly provides for it.
But what would the argument be to say that, all right, so this H.R. 1 would prohibit states from doing things like voter verification, going through the rolls and verifying the voters or asking for photo ID to vote. But it's explicitly for congressional elections. How can they make that something where Virginia, for example, could say, well, we want to verify our voter rolls and it doesn't have anything to do with the next congressional race?
Well, for starters, that's one of the reasons Virginia staggers, right?
Mm-hmm.
When do you elect the governor of Virginia? What year? When do you elect the president? What year? They're staggered elections. And so Virginia, if they wanted to, could set up an entirely different system of elections for state offices and for president.
Wow.
Okay? But they don't do it because it costs too much money and is an administrative headache.
Right.
So, no. Now, back in the Jim Crow era, back in Jim Crow, a lot of the southern states were threatening to do this. They were like, well, you don't have authority over our state elections. You know, you can only manage our federal elections. So they were threatening to do this. They never did it because it cost too much. It's called bifurcated registration systems, and they just never did it.
Mm-hmm. So you would have a registration to vote for your congressional representative and a separate one to vote for, say, your House of Delegates member.
Exactly.
So does she have the votes to support this after the Trump rally went sideways and people invaded the U.S. House of Representatives? I've heard from centrist Republicans who want nothing to do with anything that seems conservative anymore. And I've heard even some of the voices of Democrats that I could kind of keep my fingers crossed, hold my breath and squint and hope that maybe they would see some sense. Is there any hope of stuff like this not passing overwhelmingly, Chris?
Well, it passed the Congress in the last Congress. I'm sorry, it passed the House in the last Congress. It's going to pass the House in this Congress. The only question is what happens in the Senate. Is there anybody left to slow it down in the Senate?
Mitch McConnell didn't make it sound like that on, Monday morning when they returned to Washington. Seemed pretty clear that they were sending a signal. Speak to the kind of voter fraud that we saw, and I've made the argument, and I know the more moralistic of my listeners will say, doing something you know you're not supposed to do is fraudulent. Yes, I get that. But when the states enacted laws that said all you have to do is show up with a utility bill from the address of the voter, and that is quoting Virginia's election law, they're making it impossible to say that there's voter fraud. I just showed up with a utility bill. I did it the way you told me to. Too bad on the guy who showed up late after work and somebody had already voted in his name.
Well, that's one of the reasons I've been not emphasizing voter fraud the last 5 years and trying to educate people about how they're changing what is legal.
Mm-hmm.
They're changing the process. It's not fraud if what they do is part of the code, right? I just was in a Virginia legislative hearing yesterday morning in front of the House. I was a witness where there was a bill to make transparent the rules of the election that are given by the State Board of Elections to the registrars throughout Virginia. In other words, whatever guidance they give the registrars from Richmond
mm-hmm.
should be published. That's
You'd
it.
Think? Yeah.
That's what the bill said, that the rules should be transparent. Would you believe the Democrats in the Elections Committee voted it down? because they thought that the legislation was trying to sow discontent with the election. So your listeners need to understand that even transparency in the Virginia legislature is a taboo at these days with the Democrats who control it.
I would have loved to have actually heard the leap of logic that took something that said you have to be transparent and somehow make it a trope to sow discord with the way something's done. I mean, that's insane.
Well, welcome to 2021.
How much worse, and I did nary to think, because you and I have been talking for a long time. We're talking with J. Christian Adams, president of the Public Interest Legal Foundation, and it's the most chilling Orwellian. You know, one party says every vote matters, and then the other party says every legal vote matters. And yeah, we're finding this weird marriage of the two where, okay, then let's just find a way to make every vote every legal vote.
Well, that's right. That's their strategy, and it's working because they're controlling legislatures, they're controlling Secretary of State's office, they control the Pennsylvania Supreme Court, who decided that it's legal for a ballot to come in days late with no postmark. So, welcome to the brave new world of making it up as you go along. That's how it goes.
Is this... You know, sadly, you know, everyone loves to talk about Saul Alinsky, this, that. But, I mean, it's right in Marx's manifesto that the process is secondary to outcome, that the outcome is all that matters, and the outcome becomes power. It seems like, you know, almost as if the failed democracies of the Mediterranean thousands of years ago were conservative republics compared to where we're headed.
Well, I mean, look, that's why the founders knew that pure democracy is such a dangerous thing, because in the end, the mob takes over. And, we're supposed to be an enlightened republic with democratic systems. And that's the story of the last 9 months, is we have learned how fragile elections are. And I've been preaching this, as you know, since I left the Justice Department a decade ago. And I saw a decade ago the diabolical designs that these lunatics have for replacing the system.
And I made this case once it became clear that after the incursion at the Capitol, and I won't use the word that the rest of the media is using because I think it's intentionally designed to go even further and into an even darker place than just after the president. But I said the two names you need to remember, and they're pulled from Peter Schweitzer's book, are Hunter Biden and Elaine Chao. And the reason they do this is the permit culture, the government venture capitalism, the aid to small, medium, and large businesses, all the different things that the government can do that winds up making, if not a family member, a friend who's been put in charge of a bureaucracy fairly well healed.
Right. Look, Washington has a gravity to it, and it's a company town, and people who get here eventually in large measure like to stop rocking the boat. Yeah. Otherwise, how will they get their next job if they rock the boat? So this is just how it goes, and, the far left ends up winning.
But what winds up, the win winds up bankrupting us down the road. I mean, I'm looking at, people start talking about 17, 18, 20% interest rates, inflation rates in the teens, and then we lose, and I know financial issues, not necessarily your pigeon, but then we lose reserve currency and we're done for.
Yeah. That doesn't matter to the people in Washington. You're describing what matters to people in the real world. But see, in Washington, those tax payments keep coming, and people keep living large no matter what the inflation rate is, no matter what the debt is.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, they live better with more debt. They live large whether or not the GMP is up. The consultants and the lawyers and the bureaucrats. There's nobody suffering in the federal government employment force right now because of COVID. They're all working. They're all working from home with full federal benefits. So, you know, all those great economic things don't really matter to the modern left.
I believe that there's enough people that get it that could win this over. But if H.R. 1 passes through the Senate and goes to Joe Biden's desk for his signature, is it possible for conservatives to still pull off victories? I said with tongue in cheek, well, maybe we just need our own, you know, vote harvesting operations, sort of like what the California Republicans did. They said, okay, well, you're going to legalize vote harvesting. Well, we'll start doing it too. And that's when everyone freaked out. Do we stand a chance? Does it just change the game for conservatives to get elected?
Well, you mentioned California. I think California is the answer for you because they've done all this already in California over the course of the last 15 years. So there's your answer. California tells you what it is.
I don't want to become California. I mean, good golly. But so that's where we're headed, though, as a nation.
Well, look, they're designing sales to catch cultural prevailing winds. They know how people behave when the vote harvester comes to the door. And so that's why they want to pass a bill that allows vote harvesting. So it has a certain outcome.
I forget what the process is, but every 10 years we discuss statistical ways to avoid actually counting people. And every 10 years it seems like the statisticians come up with better ways to do estimated censuses. And we're told, oh, there's a. And I worry that maybe that's where we're headed with this. We're so going to corrupt the voting that we're going to do almost like this electoral demon pass where, we'll send, gallop out into the field, get a poll, and that's who wins the election.
Well, that's actually what they prefer. I try to explain to people that these folks would prefer that everybody votes for elected offices from their couch. And a lot of them, if they're listening, like at Right Wing Watch or Media Matters, listening to this interview right now so they can write something nasty about us, will say, what's wrong with voting from the couch? What? That's how it ought to be. So you got to realize that that's what's driving them, is they want people voting on the remote controls from the couch, and then they want people voting on particular issues, like, shall we take my neighbor's property? 51% say yes. Well, then take it.
Exactly.
I mean, that's where they're headed. I mean, it's Dr. Zhivago when he returns home and finds 30 people living in his house.
Right, because that's what we voted at the last meeting that you weren't at. And that's what when people say, because Pete Buttigieg, our new Secretary of Transportation, frighteningly enough, promoted the idea of democratic capitalism. I've told anyone, if you've ever been at a local planning commission meeting, you know what democratic capitalism is. I don't want them to open a gas station here. It offends my, view shed. And then everyone takes a vote, and guess what? You don't get to open your gas station, even if there are people that need gasoline in that neck of the woods.
Right.
It's amazing. Well, it's a drunkenness that I just don't know if we can fix. But thank you for everything you do at publicinterestlegal.org. Please, if you can, unless you're in Media Matters the Pundit Watch, has been a spinoff of the verifiers out there. Give money to Chris and his organization for what they do, because otherwise there's no voice in the crowd anymore, and we need that. You have a great weekend, sir, and we'll keep our fingers crossed. Are there senators we could be calling that teeter? Should we call Joe Manchin and get him to give up this 14th Amendment call to get rid of Ted Cruz?
Yeah, don't vote for H.R. 1.
Just get in Tim Kaine and Mark Warner's inbox and say, do you realize? Well, I just don't know who we call. I mean, we need, one or two senators to at least block it. And I'm worried that there are senators out there saying, I just don't want to be associated with this stuff anymore. So we just got to get out there, get Mark Warner, get Tim Kaine. We'll post up contacts to all the senators' offices if we can. You have a great weekend, sir, and thank you for joining us.
Take care.
Up next, Public Policy Director with Tertium Quid's Caleb Taylor on the Healthcare Freedom Initiative on this week's Freedom and Prosperity Radio.